This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more details, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month: strongest evidence yet for a binary black hole system, dark matter-dominated dwarfs, and how to identify a supernova progenitor. The number of galaxies observed in the process of colliding and merging is large, and there is much evidence to suggest that galaxies in the early universe grow through a series of merger events. If this is the case, then mergers of the central supermassive black holes should also take place, producing strong gravitational wave signals which experiments such as LIGO are hoping to detect. Pre-merger binary black hole systems are difficult to find, however, since, by their nature, they are most likely to be found in distant quasars, where current telescopes lack the resolution to see what's going on directly. Astronomers studying the optical spectra from a catalogue of 17,500 quasars have discovered a system with the most convincing evidence so far of two supermassive black holes in orbit. Reported in Nature on the 5th of March, the object known as J1536 plus 0441 shows three sets of emission lines in a spectrum obtained as part of the Sloan Digital Sky Survey. Galaxies which host quasars typically have emission lines which are either broad or narrow, and sometimes display both types of line. The width of the line depends on the orbital speed of the gas which creates it. The broader the line, the faster the material is moving, and the closer to the nucleus it must be. Narrow lines are thought to come from slower moving gas in the outer parts of the galaxy. What is unique about J1536 is that the spectrum shows narrow lines and not one but two sets of broad lines, with velocities that differ by 3,500 kilometers per second. The authors of the study, Todd Burrowson and Todd Lauer, both at the National Optical Astronomy Observatory in Arizona, argue that the most likely explanation is one host galaxy producing the narrow lines, containing two supermassive black holes in orbit around each other, separated by about a tenth of a parsec, with an estimated orbital period of around 100 years. While other explanations have not been completely ruled out, this is the strongest evidence yet of a binary supermassive black hole system in such a tight orbit. Galaxy clusters are rough environments. Their gravitational interactions can tear apart even large galaxies. But astronomers studying observations of a large cluster of galaxies in Perseus have discovered a population of small galaxies that have managed to remain intact, despite the surrounding gravitational tug-of-war. The observations are described in a paper published in the journal The Monthly Notices of the Royal Astronomical Society during March. What the team found was a collection of old dwarf galaxies with surprisingly smooth structures, appearing smooth and round rather than gravitationally disrupted as might be expected in this sort of environment. The explanation for this result could be that these dwarf galaxies contain a large amount of dark matter, effectively cushioning them from the surrounding gravitational forces and allowing them to survive where much larger spiral galaxies cannot. The authors argue that these dwarf galaxies are very old and have been part of the Perseus cluster for a long time, so that for them to have survived this long without any signs of major disruption means that something must be counteracting the gravitational forces, and their conclusion is that they must be very dark matter-dominated galaxies. While supernovae are rare in our own galaxy, several hundred are discovered in other galaxies each year, many by dedicated amateur astronomers who observe the same galaxies regularly looking for new objects. Identifying the progenitors of these events, the actual star which explodes, is a tricky task. Many of the supernovae we observe are in distant galaxies where current telescopes lack the resolution to distinguish individual stars, especially in galactic bulges where there are many stars in a small volume. This is a problem for supernova models. To understand fully the physics of these explosions requires knowledge of the type of stars which explode. A study published in the journal Nature during March describes how the progenitor of one particular supernova has been identified. The event, known as SN2005GL, was seen to explode in 2005 in the galaxy NGC 266. Using Hubble Space Telescope images of the galaxy from 1997, researchers had previously identified a bright object at the location of 2005GL, but it was not certain that this object was a single star. It could have been light from a stellar cluster, with the progenitor of 2005 GL being just one star in a group. Or it could have been a background object, with the explosion due to a fainter star in front of the bright star, seen in the Hubble image. What the new study shows is that this object was in fact a single star, which was the progenitor of 2005 GL. Observations of the same galaxy taken by the HST in September 2007, 2 years after the supernova, show that the object has disappeared. Analysis of the data obtained before the explosion shows that the progenitor was probably a very bright type of star known as a luminous blue variable, or LBV. These stars are thought to be massive, more than 50 times the mass of the Sun, and very short-lived. Several other supernova events have had their progenitors identified over the last few decades, but in most cases the progenitors were less than 20 times the mass of the Sun. Apart from the exceptional case of SN1987A in the nearby Large Magellanic Cloud, this is the most convincing case of the identification of a supernova progenitor. And finally, March the 6th saw the launch of Kepler, a satellite designed to search for Earth-like planets orbiting around other stars. Launched on a Boeing Delta II rocket from Cape Canaveral, the satellite will go into an Earth-trailing heliocentric orbit, with a period of 372.5 days, so that it slowly falls behind the Earth in its journey around the Sun. The main instrument is a type of detector known as a photometer, which will stare at the same patch of sky for the expected 4-year duration of the mission. This highly sensitive detector will watch for the tiny changes in brightness that signify a transiting planet in a sample of 100,000 stars. Of the 342 extrasolar planets discovered to date, only 58 of these transit their parent star. While other missions such as COROE are also searching for transiting planets, Kepler is the most sensitive instrument so far, with an aperture of 95 centimetres and an array of 42 CCD chips, each with 2,200 by 1,024 pixels.